Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become your better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Good evening, hello radio listeners, and it's Wednesday, September 11th, 2013, and it's 12 years to the day when our consciousness as a society changed because of the events of September 11th, 2001. And so today we pause to remember those who died in that really horrific event, and I guess we make individual and collective promises to never forget what happened on that day. So we take a moment to kind of honor those who gave their lives and who lost their lives on that day. On today, September 11th. Good evening, I'm Delia Farquharson, and this is Discussions with Delia. And to get started today, I'd like to remind you that you can call in on 619-639-4621. And today's show is a continuation of last week's show. It's a continuation of last week's show about the college graduate's experience. So before we go any further, let me introduce my guest co-host, my awesome husband, Raymond.
Good evening.
So, Raymond, so last week the discussion was really lively and we got a lot of feedback from others about the college graduate experience. And we had one caller that brought into the conversation at the end of the discussion the idea of whether or not it's a question of maturity. Mm. Is it a question of the graduates who are coming out of school now are not mature enough for the workplace? Is that the question I believe that the caller was posing? So what do you say?
As we were discussing earlier before we went on here about, you know, is it maturity? And I said, well, I think one possible contributing factor is that I think kids are coddled more than before in terms of not being disappointed, not, you know, being protected in terms of being hurt or being turned down or being disappointed. So that leads to being not prepared, as prepared, for the real world when real things happen. So therefore, they come across as being immatured, more so because they're never exposed to anything or any kind of hardship.
So let's kind of focus on that word, coddled.
Yes.
The word coddled.
Yes.
And for some reason, the image that was generated in my head by that word was when our children played soccer.
Okay.
And at the end of the soccer season, we would go to an awards dinner.
Right.
And everybody got a...
Everybody got an award, yes.
Everybody got a trophy.
Yes.
And so, you know, I never understood that. We participated in it and we were happy for our girls, but I never understood why everybody got a trophy.
Right.
So
I guess there are no winners, there are no losers.
Yeah.
Everybody wins.
So is that part of the culture? Is that, you know, is that a part of the culture where the idea of being coddled is that you don't have to suffer the discomfort of not being recognized as a winner, of not being validated and praised?
Right. And I think it is, you know, it's all done, I think, with good intentions, where you want children to continue working hard or feel motivated but you're motivating them by saying, well, regardless of how you do, you're a winner anyway. And, you know, in terms of you never being disappointed, you know, at a young age, you're 5, 6 years old, all the way through your life, that's how things are presented.
Right.
You know, it becomes an issue.
Right. So there's an article that I'd like to make reference to for today's show, and it's written by Bob Borson. And in it, he highlights these 7 keys that he says that he thinks graduates entering the workplace should know. So I'll list them.
Okay.
He says, you don't know as much as you think you do, and we, everybody else, knows it. Don't pretend to know something you don't, because that just creates new problems. So he's saying for new graduates, kind of like act the role of that you don't know everything and that you're there to learn. The second thing he says is that recent college grads get entry-level jobs and tasks. It is what it is until you earn more than that. You are no longer the big man on campus, so kind of like deal with that. Then he says, college hasn't prepared you for everything. Accept that it hasn't and kind of move on. Be flexible.
Right.
The question then he poses is, are you looking for a job or a true calling? Are you in the workplace to work, or do you want to be part of something? And so what do you say about those, you know, points that he raised?
Well, I guess my thing is, based on the points that were raised, you're talking, how old is that, the average undergraduate?
I'd say 21, 22.
All right. Okay. So you're 21, 22 years old. You have now been, you're done. You're cooked, you're baked, you have been educated, high school, college. You have your degree, looking forward to the work world, and probably thinking about furthering your education, be it grad school, medical school, law school, whatever it might be. So therefore, that person that you have now become was created long before you stepped out of that college campus. So I think the approach needs to be looking at prior to that, while you were in college. Because once you're out, for someone to say, listen, I would like you to unlearn some of those bad habits that you have now created, so those views that you have of the world, those views that you have of work, you know, I think some kids probably will have a difficult time staying in one place for 8 hours.
Okay, so then that brings us to then, you know, his next point. So he says, be prepared to discover what personal accountability means. There are no do-overs, extensions, or free passes for next time.
Right, you can't drop the class. You know, you're in college, you don't like a class, you don't like a professor, you drop the class. You don't like this for dinner, someone else cooks you something else. So, again, in the real world, you deal with it or you suffer the consequences. So, having graduated from college and now come out in the real world and someone is saying, oh, listen, it's not what you think it is. It's a rude awakening. So I think we need to start looking at how children or how young people view the world before they put that cap and gown on at 21, 22 years old.
So is that a failing of the college system? Is it that the system that as it exists is not preparing our students to take their place as functional? I'm going to use that word, functional adults. Because you have the multiple choices in the cafeteria. And if you don't like the class, you can always drop it. And you can always ask for an extension. And you can always challenge the grade.
Right. I think so. I think if you look at, I mean, and that could be a whole other week of conversation in terms of your money's worth. You know, what do you get, you know, for your, you know, for what you spend for your college degree, you know, wherever you choose to send your child. You know, did you get your money's worth? And what exactly was that? Yes, I agree. I think the college system, in a lot of ways, has failed. I think they graduate students, and students come out with no more, I want to use the word, working skills or world or life skills than they had when they went to, when they first started college, when they left high school.
Right. The skill, one of the skills that I think is so critical, and it's pointed out in this article, is the ability to communicate and actively listen. I think that that's perhaps the most critical skill we develop as a human being. that's probably the most critical skill we develop as a human being, is this ability to listen, to actively really listen and to communicate. That
mm-hmm.
communication is just not you saying what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, is that something, should more focus be put on that? And how do children or students or young people really learn that? And then he suggests that they should see their tasks through to completion. In other words, finish what you start.
Right.
Because so often that's not true.
That's true. Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
That's not true in terms of children, you know, or that's true that children don't finish what they start.
Yeah. And again, you know, we're talking about a lot of this as if it sits in isolation. Yes, the culture, the country, the technology, the life that we are, where we are today, all factor into, you know, being the world as it is. And, you know, I remember Kent calling in, I think 2 weeks ago or whenever it was, and said, you know, this is the new world. You know, we have to come to grips with it and understand that it's different. It's not when we were in college or when our parents were in school or our age or whatever it might be. However, but to your point, there are certain basic things that should transcend any generation. Being able to actively listen, know when to say what, act accordingly, recognize the situation and rationalize and come with a reasonable solution, as opposed to having unfair expectations, as opposed to just expect it to be so, and when it doesn't happen, don't know what to do next.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, I mean, that idea of taking responsibility.
Right.
And whose role is it to take responsibility?
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, because I feel like what we're talking about is what, like, we all agree that students need to know that, or young people need to have this knowledge, right, when they're ready for the world.
Whose responsibility is this to make sure that
they know it? That's the question.
Yeah.
That's the question.
Yeah.
So is it a failing of parents? Is it a failing of the system? Because we cannot expect them to know it just by breathing.
Right.
So if that's the understanding, that our children need to have this knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, what's the best way of ensuring that they have it?
Probably, I don't know. Probably, at the end of the day, it's the parents who have, it's their children. The college is a business. So therefore, we might look at it as this is my thought process is, yes, the colleges have some responsibility to better prepare them for the work world and so on, and they might point to many programs that they have that as success stories that does exactly that. The parents become the guiding force, I think. And the child that graduates from college and you proudly stand there and they say, you know, summa cum laude, you know, so and so, and you know, graduated with a degree, but is no more functional than when they put the cap and gown and came out of high school. You know, where was the disconnect?
Okay.
Where the parents are saying, you know what, I want to make sure that I talk to my child, my children, and have them realize that the real world that they live in, rather than creating some fictitious world that they think they live in.
All right, so then it brings us back to the original point, which is
mm.
what do you learn as a young person, as a child,
mm.
mere child,
mm.
and should you be learning to actively listen as a young child,
mm-hmm.
and should you be learning to finish what you start as a young child,
yes.
and should you be learning that the world does not, despite how you might feel, revolve around you?
Yeah. I think so, but it might be a difficult thing for parents to adjust to in today's society, because then they're going to be seen as different, and their child is going to be raised in a different way.
Okay, so one of the questions that came up last week was the idea that one of the most expected traits mm-hmm. for a college graduate or a new employee into the
mm-hmm.
workforce
mm-hmm.
is to be flexible. And this article also makes reference to that,
right.
the idea of flexibility,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And it seems to me that flexibility is something that you would need in all aspects of life.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's not something you would go to college and learn,
no.
right?
Right.
You kind of need flexibility in a family. You need flexibility,
in life.
Period.
Yeah.
So that's one trait that we could say, well, that would fall under the responsibility of parents.
Okay.
To teach, right?
Right.
Flexibility.
Right.
That sense of that, you know, the word entitlement was the one I used
right.
last week as well.
Right.
That sense of feeling entitled,
right.
feeling like I deserve no matter what. So even
right.
though I'm a new graduate, I deserve no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, and
I
this
want,
is what this article makes mention as well.
Right. I want what I want, and
I want it now.
And I want it now, and I want as much of it as possible. And I'll tell you when I don't want anymore. And when I don't want it anymore, I'll tell you what the next thing that I want, and I should have that too. Again, I don't know if I'm qualified, and I'll only speak for myself. You know, I don't know if I'm qualified to make the statement beyond things that I have observed or things I've read, you know, in terms of, you know, is this throughout the country, throughout the world? But I come across enough young people over time, and it's a constant. It is in there in some way, shape, or form, you know, and I don't know, you know, you can get frustrated with it, you can get upset with it, or you can, you know, try to understand it and try to help, because it's, you know, it might be perceived as the new normal. It is the new normal that we ourselves who were on the other side have to adjust to, and I don't know, you know, maybe I'm one of those resisting and saying, well, no, I think young people need to be held accountable. They need to have something, you know, that says, you did not get this task done. You can't leave till you're finished. You have to finish what you started. You can't have unfair expectations of the world. There are consequences to action.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you think about it, you know, you need, that's a skill, a trait
mm-hmm.
that you need.
Mm-hmm.
In order to effectively function in the workplace, because wherever you go, you're going to have to work with others, and the ability to problem solve and to, you know, be flexible and to collaborate and to work cooperatively with others, those are skills that are not necessarily taught in colleges,
right.
but that you need in colleges, in college.
Right.
And you need those skills in the workplace as well. And the, you know, the details of chemistry or biology or physics or English or math or,
right.
you know, literature or whatever it is, history, whatever it is that you're studying,
right.
You know, that changes and fluctuates. But there are some basic skills, some basic requirements that every child needs, every college graduate needs, no matter what they're studying.
Right.
And that, it seems like, there is a sense, and I don't know how pervasive or general this sense is, that our students are not developing that at a rate that meets the expectations
right.
of the hiring manager.
So there's a disconnect between what they're coming with and their expectation in the real world.
Yeah, yeah.
But the, if that is so, okay, and parents are saying, okay, son or daughter, you have now graduated, go forth and find that job. And when that is not happening, and when the hiring manager or the whatever that they're meeting with is saying, thank you, we'll get back to you, and they never do, and they go to interview after interview, and kids become, or young people become frustrated because now they didn't get the job or a job, you think parents look at this in terms of what is it that I could have done differently?
Okay. And that's a good segue.
To have, you know, a better, an outcome.
A different outcome.
Yeah.
And that's a good segue, because our topic next week will look at parenting styles. We'll look at what the research says. about the different parenting styles. And essentially, you know, the established research talks about three different kinds of parenting styles. But we'll take a look at that and see the kind of child that we have as outcome based on the different parenting style, at least what the research says. So
right.
We can all kind of assess ourselves based on this information
right.
and then see for those of us who are still in the process of parenting whether we need to make adjustments or, kudos because we're doing such a great job.
Right. But I think it must be very frustrating, though. You love your child and you know, you watch them grow up and they are respectful and they are loving and caring and they understand, you know, the environment and so on, and they recycle and they, you know, so on and so forth. But when they are now young men and women ready for a workforce and you realize that it's not happening, you know, again, everything prior to graduating from college was automatic. You go from pre-K to kindergarten to first grade all the way through the 12th grade, and you're going to college, you apply to as many colleges, you got into one or two or five or seven, and you pick the one that best fits your need and your financial situation and all of the above. Now that has ended. For the first time in their lives, as parents and as a graduate, the next step is not automatic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the problem. It is no longer automatic that I have now graduated from college. In essence, I think a lot of these kids are saying, Mom, Dad, tell me what to do next.
Oh, because they're so used to that.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. Tell me where to show up come Monday morning. Because I myself am not sure where to go. And if I go there, I'm not sure what to do.
Mm. Okay. So, you know, it makes me wonder about the experience of the previous generation or the previous generation. Makes me wonder about the experience of the previous generation, which in that case would be your generation.
Thank you.
So, I mean, for one, the parents of the previous generation are not necessarily all college educated themselves.
Right.
And that generation is more often than not more successful than the generation of their parents.
Right.
And their parents are hardly equipped or hardly understand how to navigate that college, higher education, networking,
right.
technology
right.
framework.
Right.
So how did your generation
Thank
figure
you.
It out?
I don't know. And I guess, all right, let me see. If I speak, how much time we have left? I think because regardless of who you were, regardless, it could be a cultural difference as well. As a child, I wasn't born here. I was born in Jamaica, and I went to school in Jamaica. And I think the expectation of not just your parents, but your community had a certain expectation of children. And there was a sense of not wanting to disappoint and being held to a standard of saying you're going to go to high school and you're going to, and again, high school is not a right, it's a privilege there. So I think it's more of the community, the culture, what you see around you as a successful person, and I think people egg you on to be successful. So if for no other reason, not to disappoint your parents, your community, your friends and family members, because they themselves are asking, how'd you do on that test? Which school are you going to go to? What are you going to do next? What are you going to do when you grow up? So those questions are being constantly asked, and you're constantly answering them. I'm not saying that those questions are not being asked of children today, but I'm just telling you from my perspective. And what I knew was true, as you said, a generation ago, not yours, but mine. So what was different for us and why did we do it? I'm not sure, and I'm not sure we did anything different than they're doing. Maybe we just saw it in a different way, you know, or it just came out a different way. Looking now at young people,
you knew that it wasn't automatic. I remember at 19 knowing it's not automatic.
What's not automatic?
That I'm not just going to show up at some place, finish, and the answer will be at the end. The work that has to be put in to determine, to give you the options of what you want to do, or give you the ability. And these kids are smart, and they get great grades, and they do well in school, and they study to the test, as you said. But I think part of what's missing is, how do I translate that? How do I translate how smart and book learned I am into real world? Real world. And I think that might be part of what's missing.
Well, and this is a question that I pose to our listeners, is whose responsibility is that? Is that a parenting responsibility? Is it the responsibility of parents to ensure that our children have the ability to be flexible, to respond to changes, and to not have these unrealistic expectations of others, like you say? So is that a responsibility of parents that we're failing to do? Or we're expecting others to complete that task for us? Or how are we expecting our children, our young people that we're raising, to come of this knowledge?
Yeah.
You know, so I pose that question, and I'd really like to hear from the listeners as to what they think. You know, what's that about?
Yeah.
You know, or you can do our Facebook page, or on Twitter at Discussion Delia, or Facebook Discussions with Delia. But let me hear about why it is that, whose responsibility is it? Why, you know, our children are growing up with this obvious need, I'm going to call it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this need, this muscle that needs to be developed, that's clearly not developed. And whose responsibility is it? And what happens if that's not clearly identified? Do they have to struggle that much harder?
When you say it's clearly identified that it's not developed, I'm wondering if parents on a whole, you know, pervasive or not, parents on a whole, do they really think that?
And that's what I'm saying. But we're seeing that in the children. We're seeing that in, you know, we talk to quite a few graduates.
Right.
We talk to quite a few young people, and what we're seeing is that need is there. This idea of resiliency, you know, that we expect to see after somebody's, it is not there. So I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I guess. And I think maybe the conversation around that has to be more than, you know, it has to include the child.
Absolutely.
And the children. You know, rather than parents saying, well, let me see, you know, what is it that I could have done? You know, maybe including them and saying, you know what, I'm having a hard time getting a job. Whenever I interview, you know, and I ask the questions, or, you know, maybe ask them, what is the approach that you're taking? Or what is your view? Or what is your expectation?
Or is it the parents, the unrealistic expectation of the parents?
Right. Well, you're saying they're injecting their own expectations on
mm-hmm.
their children. I guess it's a combination.
Right, right.
I mean, jobs are hard to get today, ladies and gentlemen. So whatever you can do to have your child better prepared for college, for life, would be to their benefit.
Right. So I think that's, you know, where we'll leave the discussion today, is to perhaps, yeah, engage your young people, no matter where they are in their stages of development, and kind of start to evaluate whether the skills that we see as so necessary they have. So until next week, when we'll talk about parenting styles, parenting skills, and the outcomes, be good and follow us on Twitter or friend us on Facebook. So until next week, take care.
Welcome to another exciting episode.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Delia. Check us out on the web at discussionswithdelia.com and like our Facebook page, Discussions with Delia. Please follow me on Twitter at Discussion Delia. Thank you again for listening. Peace and blessings.